What's up? What's up? What's up? What's up? Welcome to another episode of Spread Love FM. I am your host, Trev, and I am back again with our series of discussions that I had with a coworker who is on the opposite side of the spectrum when it comes to many social, political, and even religious issues. And last time we spoke about the conversation we had as it came upon the topic of the LGBTQ lifestyle, and I briefly shared my thoughts on that and the question that was posed to me from this coworker. But before we start, I do want to share a some of the guidelines that we go. I've been having discussions of this sort for over 3 years on a daily basis. For the first 2.5 years at McCarran Gathering. And these has have given me the skill set to speak when it comes to political, social, and environmental issues. And in the last few months, I've had a spiritual reawakening that has allowed me to actually have a deeper discussion and to handle these discussions with grace and love, which is something that if I didn't have the spiritual side, that I don't think I would be able to have these conversations in a constructive way. So let me start by actually reading a part of our guidelines. And we have something called the Value Exchange Project, where we meet every Friday on Zoom from 7 to 9 p.m. Eastern Time. And one of the things that we want to share when we have these discussions is a sort of disclaimer that's, well, a prompt that we lead with love and grace. And I'll read it once again for you. And it goes, we understand that conversations around sensitive topics can sometimes lead to unintentional misunderstandings or offense. Therefore, we extend grace and learning opportunities to those who might inadvertently project hate. We encourage growth, empathy, and a deeper comprehension of diverse viewpoints. So we don't encourage you to have these discussions if you do not come with love and grace, and if you haven't practiced it with people you know first before maybe you go and have this with strangers or people at work or school. And again, having these conversations for a better part of 4 years, I guess, 2020 is what's allowed me to have this conversation that I'm talking about, that I'm sharing with you now. Because it really is one of the first encounters that I've really had with somebody in such an intimate setting, face to face, that was so far on the other side of the spectrum. So, and yeah, it still took me bringing into bearing those skills, bringing that into the actual conversation for me to handle it with grace and love. So that the third topic that we spoke about was Trump and Black Lives Matter. And he came out and said, listen, I'm a Trump supporter. And I respected that, actually, that he just came out and said that. And it, you know, then I said, yes, yeah, I'm with Black Lives Matter. And there's no really official like association with Black Lives Matter, as I imagine there's no, well, I guess there's official affiliation with Trump if you voted for him. But I fellowship with Black Lives Matter. And when he said this, I had the most visceral reaction, I imagine. Like it was almost like I had to kind of brace myself. And I thought I saw, I thought I saw him like kind of brace himself as well. And I almost like hold back some rage. And I felt like maybe I did the same thing. But in the spirit of this coworker and I, if you saw the first installment of this series, we were growing, having a bond that was growing over the course of my short time at the job and the few conversations that we had. I felt like we were both being drawn to each other. And I think having that initial kind of humanizing element and that connection that we've been building over the few times that we've spoken, I think that was enough to allow us to get past that visceral reaction. But what also allowed me personally to get past it is spirituality and realizing that I am here to listen, that I am not here to instruct. It's something I am learning from my spiritual journey. I am here to inspire, not instruct, to show love and to diminish hate or anything that is not love or is not God. And when I think of the struggles that my civil rights soldiers that came before me, the things that they put up with in terms of showing grace in the face of hate, that for me to just sit there and listen for a few minutes is not a lot to ask. And it does honor the tradition of those who put up with so much more. So in that spirit, I listened, and there was a question that we had with my prayer groups that was asked, and it was asked within the context of just us, all liberal. And the question was, is there any redeeming quality about Trump that you can find that isn't associated with racism? And I'm kind of butchering the question. But in that spirit, I asked and rephrased that question to him, and asked him simply, why do you like Trump? And at first he said that it's because Trump is being persecuted, referring to the trials, and really pointing specifically to the trial in Atlanta, where the prosecutor has been found in a relationship with a fellow colleague who was prosecuting, involved in the prosecution as well. And he pointed that out as one example. But then I asked, I said, but you liked, Trump before that, didn't you? Why did you like him before the persecution? And in a nutshell, he said, because Trump reminds him of himself. He was a white guy, older guy, just to give a little bit of a background, in his 60s. And he's actually from New York, even though we're having a discussion in Florida. But what I'm finding is there are so many New Yorkers who come to Florida because, well, it's been a history of people coming to Florida from New York. But I think that's been accelerated because of the Make America Great Again and, Ron DeSantis and Trump living down here. It's just now really a destination. He's come down here in the last a few years, 2, 3 years, I think. So in him giving this answer, it kind of speaks to what we thought was the reason as a group, in the prayer group. One of the answers that when we were asked that, we answered, try to answer with that. That was one of the answers that I gave. So hearing him say that reinforced that. And he spoke of Trump. He worked with Trump at Trump Tower, as I did as well, but on a different capacity. And he spoke about how Trump would, buy lunches for everybody, and genuinely, it's, and in a lot of ways, this is a very, and I get that. And I told him I get that because I get that New York kind of, unfiltered way of speaking. You really kind of do the gestures, show this kind of superficial, for lack of a better word, love to your neighbors. And Trump has that. He has a very way, a way of connecting to people. And what I didn't get to mention to him is that, yeah, even, growing up in the hip hop community, and, Trump was, in a lot of ways, we looked up to him because of his ambition. And that's a fact. And people will, you could probably find many rap songs that references Trump. And I myself, as a youngster, as a fan of the then New Jersey Generals of the USFL, who Trump owned. This is where my introduction to him came. And I had no issue with him back then. In fact, I was rooting for his success, even though he, pretty much crashed the league. We'll get into that later. Well, actually, I don't want to get into that later. But so I get it. Him being a New Yorker, Trump being a New Yorker, him being from Queens, Trump being from Queens, I get it. So, but then I shared that I'm down with Black Lives Matter. I've been down with them. And I, again, I also share with him that I don't really like to use the labels. This was something relevant to the rest of our discussion as well when it came to other topics. But, there is a overlap with my beliefs, and Black Lives Matter is something that I have, shouted out protesting in the streets of New York. And he, asked, he said something. He didn't ask me a question. Once I said that, he said he really resented seeing Black Lives Matter signs at games, at stadiums, and in the streets painted. Why does that have to be in my face? Was the implication, and I'm paraphrasing what he said. And he said something that, that this is that all lives matter, which is a common response to Black Lives Matter. And he, his, I guess his, the energy and the pace in which he started to discuss was escalating in a way. And so I was preparing to come back with, the weakest link argument, which is like we are saying Black Lives Matter because it is the life that is the most oppressed. And we are only strongest at the weakest link in terms of our country. And if we don't lift up Black lives, which is why we highlight that, then all lives will be affected. It's probably a better way to say it. But I could see he was not allowing me to say that. And in my grace and in my love, I would not impose and force my way into that because this is one person and it would be of no value for us to get into a tit for tat. What would be of value in my mind is for me to hear him out and then at a later time, or maybe at a later date, we can have this part of the discussion. So he asked another question that I did get to answer. And he, first of all, he spoke about Colin Kaepernick and he made references to he was raised by two white people, and why is he doing that when white people raised him? And I asked him, "Do you think this is a race issue?" He didn't answer that to my recollection. But then he moved on and he said, "Well, Black Lives Matter, they all hate white people." And at that moment, he gave me space to interject again. And I said, "Well, I fellowship with Black Lives Matter and I love white people. I love you." Actually, I shouldn't say that because I didn't say that, but and the implication was that I love you. So I love white people. So, and I again paraphrasing most of this, so I'm just getting to the kernel of what was exchanged. And the question that I asked or wanted to him to answer was, I'm a part of Black Lives Matter. Do you see me as hating white people? And he didn't answer that. He kind of moved on to another topic as far as my recollection goes. So yeah, I kind of wanted to put that out there. There was not, there aren't going to be answers in conversations such as this, but what there was is a venting, I guess, of sorts, and there was a exchange, and there was a humanizing. I would like to share something from our last value exchange meeting, and a couple of stories were shared, and it's a private meeting, so I'm not going to get into specifics, but the general exchange was one in which an encounter such as the one I am having, where initially you look at the other as the boogeyman because it is a large unknown, and ideas fester and grow until you actually ask the person about this idea that you hold in your head. And then you hear an answer that goes against everything that you have been festering. And then it becomes a different conversation. And then you may see the person as human of value. And that happened at the Value Exchange Project. And it happened again yesterday. Because here I am, somebody who maybe I'm guessing he didn't know I was down with Black Lives Matter, as his reaction suggested when he heard it. And now he has to kind of fit who he thought I was with the idea that he had of people who claimed Black Lives Matter. And how did this fit? How did those two ideas, how did that cognitive dissonance wrestle? How did he wrestle with that cognitive dissonance that I am with Black Lives Matter, yet I love white people? And this is why it's important to have these discussions and to create these spaces. And I will put it on the other side as well. Back to that Friday night meeting, the Value Exchange Project, where us as Black liberals, where we also make a boogeyman. And I like to give a, I guess, a promo to one of the guests at our Friday meeting, Vanessa Albury, who has a podcast. Go check it out. I'll link it in the show notes. It's called The Power We Hold. And she actually just aired an episode and from July of 2023, where before I had my spiritual transformation, and I tell a story of my first encounter with a neighbor that had a Confederate flag that I had to walk under to meet this neighbor, and how that connection tore down the boogeyman in my mind, and maybe did the same thing for him. And how important it is for us to have these conversations, to have these encounters, because they really allow us to humanize one another. And we may say things that might come across as offensive, and we may not feel like we're getting the space to share the other side. But it is in my spirituality that I learn love and grace, and I learn to listen, and to inspire through my actions, and that through my actions, that maybe the person who is not allowing me to speak will allow me to inspire. So I will leave this conversation there. If you want to join us on our value exchange journey, go to spreadlovefm.com, add your email, and if we have enough space, we will invite you to our Zoom meeting Fridays, 7 to 9 p.m. Eastern Time. And yeah, I look forward to speaking to you. If you are not able to make the Zoom meeting for whatever reason, and we also have a call-in line, 347-354-5683, where you can share your thoughts on this particular topic, or you can just post a comment in the YouTube channel. And as long as you leave a comment or leave a message with grace and love, and we will be receptive to it. So that's it for me today. My name is Trav. Spread love FM. Peace and blessings.